The 75th anniversary season at Tanglewood begins tonight. We speak now to a man who not only is keeping the plate spinning here, he also has an eye on Boston and even working on programming for future years here at Tanglewood.
The incredible Tony Fogg has been artistic administrator of the Boston Symphony Orchestra since 1994 and assists the music director in the planning and selection of the BSO concerts and repertoire.
A pianist by training, Fogg has been an avid collector of recordings for over 40 years. He produced the BSO's 12-CD Symphony Hall Centennial Celebration, as well as a disc for Ozawa Hall's 10th anniversary and the All-Mozart Collection with the Boston Symphony Chamber Players. It is a great pleasure, as always, to welcome Tony Fogg back to our Tanglewood Roundtable. Thank you very much. It's good to see you.
Great to see you, Joe. Great to see you, Alan.
Are you tired?
No, I'm fine. I'm fresh, back from my 80 days around the world.
He did it before I could do it to him.
You set him up well. For 10 years, it's been a good setup. When you look at this, as 75th, we were talking a little bit about this with Mark, but as far as the programming of a season like this goes, I'm struck, Mark alluded to this, about how much goes into respecting that history. And it is, you know, when you look at something, I noticed this with Saturday Night's Concert. It has a piece that was played on the second concert that you had here. I mean, that attention to detail is very striking, I think.
Well, look, we try and find a balance between celebrating a glorious history that we're proud of and looking forward to the future. And I think this weekend's programs exemplify that in many ways. The opening night program tonight, in fact, is the same as the very first program that was ever played here back in 1937. It's an all Beethoven program, Leonore III, the Pastoral Symphony, and the Fifth Symphony. Tomorrow, as you mentioned, Joe, there's a piece that was also played in the first season. We have as conductor tonight Christoph von Dohnányi, who was a fellow here in 1952. We have a conductor tomorrow evening, Michael Stern, the son of Isaac Stern, the great violinist, who's making his debut with us. We also have a world premiere tomorrow night of a piece by Edgar Meyer, who is soloist, one of the two soloists in a double concerto. So I think encapsulated in that is we have a continuity of looking back both programmatically and artistically and looking forward. And I think this is the way that we've informed all the programming for the entirety of the season. And I hope we've come up with a good balance for that.
Now you have a terrific responsibility. You've got to figure the whole thing out. And I was struck by Joe's introduction to you, which talked about how you assisted the director, the musical director. How does that work? Is that a tense relationship? Is it easy to work with whoever, James Levine or whoever is picking the stuff out?
Well, it was always a dream to work with Jimmy. And, you know, I miss him for many, many reasons, not least of which are the great concerts and work that he did with the orchestra. But just in terms of collaborating with him on programming, he was full of ideas. He was respectful of the opinions that Mark and I would bring to discussions. He was a dream in that sense. So it's a great loss not to have him as part of the dynamic, but we enjoy relationships with many great conductors, and I've been privileged to work with a lot of them over decades now, and we have good dialogues. It's always productive. There are sometimes creative tensions, but that always leads to great results, I think, if we can work through it and find the best solution for any particular moment artistically.
How do you get them? I mean, these are the best and the brightest and the most important people in the world. They can't be all that free on a moment's notice.
Well, working with the Boston Symphony is still something that practically every artist in the world loves to do. So we do remain a pretty high priority in the artistic life of a lot of great artists. But as I mentioned, we have relationships, and it's a matter of working on those, continuing dialogue, making sure that we approach artists at the right time in terms of their planning cycles, that we can find a slot and get them locked into coming to work with the BSO either here at Tanglewood or in the symphony season.
Do you have a bad list? In other words, are there somebody who's been rude and therefore is never welcome here?
not at all. I think the bottom line is the artistic chemistry between an artist and the orchestra and the artistry and an audience. And, you know, there have been artists who've come who it hasn't been a successful collaboration, and that's life. That's what it's about. And it's nothing to do with the blacklist. It's just that perhaps it's not a relationship that we want to pursue further in the future.
Do you know, I mean, have you been able to figure out what it takes? Because the orchestra itself has such versatility of what it would be of that chemistry not being right. Do you know what I mean? I mean, because you would think that any professional coming in, whether it be conductor, music director, or whatever, would have that versatility. And then you come into a world-class orchestra. I find that sort of dynamics fascinating.
It must be said that the BSO plays supremely well, and at the moment they are in fantastic shape. It's in every section. You're seeing a really great and glorious period for the orchestra, which is as much a generational thing of some changes of players, some retirees, some new players, younger players alongside middle generation experienced musicians. And it must be said, the great training that Jimmy gave. So whoever comes in front of the orchestra, you can be assured it's going to be a fantastic performance. But sometimes you'll find an artist who can just bring out the best, who can make sure that they give absolutely the final ounce of expressivity, of energy. They can express themselves in the most free way possible. So that's when the chemistry's right, and that's when we have the really, really great nights at the BSO.
Now, Tony, the Yankees lost a couple of great players recently, put them on the disabled list. Does that ever happen in the orchestra, that a key player, you know, comes down with a cough or bronchitis or something, does that change the character of the orchestra?
Well, yes, but remember the sort of, there is a great depth of talent within the BSO. So if perhaps one of the principals is ill, the associate principal or the number three, we're still talking about a player.
The best in the world.
Yeah, the best in the world. It's an incredible pool of talent, and I constantly feel honored and proud to be working for this organization. Just sitting listening to the orchestra yesterday afternoon, they were back for their first day of rehearsal after playing the pop season. They were thrilled to be back playing great symphonic music, I had the feeling, and boy, were they were great. It was just the Tchaikovsky fourth that we had some at the end of the rehearsal yesterday was just amazing.
When you're sitting there, Do you sit in the shed during on concert during
a
concert?
I've not missed a concert in 18 years.
But you're actually in the shed. You're not behind it. Okay, no. So you're in the shed. So what is that like when everything comes together? And as you said, you have that, just that beautiful moment. I mean, do you know it instantly?
Pretty much, yeah. It's at that moment I'm sort of still worried about a lot of things. I'm relieved that it's come together. At that point, there's nothing more I can do.
You're done.
I'm done. But for me, you know, if I want to tick off that something has been successful, it's when you see a very interesting program, one that has a sort of certain sureness and logic about it being performed absolutely in a fantastic manner, and that there's a big audience there really appreciating it. For me, that's what we aim for.
Right, because so you have it, you hear it, and it's going wonderfully, and then the audience responding to it. It has to be a wonderful feeling.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I was struck by something that Joe had said before, but when a third violinist, for example, who is just, as you say, among the best in the world, hears a concert performer, a soloist, do you ever think of what could be running through that person's head? You know, I could be up there doing this.
Well, I'm sure that there must be at times an element of that, but, you know, we all find our place artistically in the world, and to be a member of the Boston Symphony's violin section is an incredible achievement in itself, and I think that must remain, you know, a thought in all the musicians' minds.
Let's talk about highlights for the season. I mean, it seems like the whole season is a highlight, but what are you looking forward to?
Look, lots of things. We have two big gala concerts next weekend, the 14th of July, which is the 75th gala, which is going to be filmed by PBS and shown around the world. And then in August, we have a big concert for John Williams' 80th birthday, and that'll be fantastic with a few surprises for John. But lots of great things. The Damnation of Faust at the end of July with Charles Dutoit, La Vida Breve, the wonderful Spanish opera with Frubeck. We have several new commission pieces throughout the summer. And Mark also earlier referenced a digital project that I've been working on with a small team over the last few months, which is now rolling out, which is that we've gone back into our archive of recordings of concerts, going back, in fact, to 1937, and we're releasing those one a day for 75 days. They're free on the first day and then available for purchase thereafter. And it's been a great opportunity to go back and look at what the real performance highlights are throughout 75 years, most of which has been captured on tape in one form or other. And we're pleased that we've been able to find those and remaster them and make them available to the public. And many of these performances are being heard for the first time since the actual concerts happened, which is really exciting.
I was struck by your the reference to your record collection. The journalist Clarence Fanto, who is a big part of WMC, can tell you how many minutes the New York Symphony's play versus the Boston Symphony during an can you do that?
No, I'm not quite as fanatical as that, but I've sort of been collecting records and LPs since I was, you know, six or seven, so the house is overloaded with them. But I'm not quite that that dedicated that I can memorize timings. I'm jealous of people who can.
Is every recording, every concert is recorded?
Yes, every concert, well, not every single performance in Boston where we do three or four. We would take two or three of them. And they're always broadcast live. As Mark mentioned, we're now streaming from our own website for a year. This was one of the possibilities that came up in the last contract negotiation with the musicians, who were very enlightened about ways in which we can share the artistry of the orchestra with the largest possible public. And I'm glad that we've been able to take advantage of that. Tonight's concert, for instance, is being broadcast across the nation. It's coast to coast on NPR and will be picked up by many international radio broadcasters over the next few months, as will the July 14 concert. So there are millions of people around the world who will be hearing performances from Tanglewood this summer, and we're delighted that we've found a means to be able to do that.
Tony Fogg is the Artistic Administrator of the Boston Symphony Orchestra. For more information on Tanglewood, the BSO, and his amazing work, go to tanglewood.org. Tony, always a pleasure to have you with
Thank
us.
Thank you so much
Wouldn't
for your
be
support.
Summer without you. Thank you so much.
Okay, great. Job. Thanks.
You're listening to the Roundtables live broadcast from Tanglewood at the Press Porch on WAMC.